time for In and Around the House with Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown. Got a question? Call us at 749-B105. Now, let's join Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown for In and Around the House.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to be a great day to get something done inside your house.
Yeah. I think so. I agree with you. Good morning, by the way, Ernie.
Good morning, Tony. And we tried to warn you, and or at least advise you. I don't want to say warn you, that this weather was coming. And it looks like we're going to get a little bit more of it later in the week, but hopefully Tony and I were talking just before we came on the air about a couple of things that, you know, we had been talking to you about, making sure you got your fall fertilization down, and if you didn't, what next? And we're going to ask Tony to talk about that a little later on. We also have coming up later in the show, Michelle Stanton, the Kenton County Extension agent, who's going to be joining us to talk a little bit about an invasive species. And our friend Margie from Bushelman Supply will also be joining us today. So, Tony, how are you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself? What do you think of this weather?
Lovely.
What a turn of events.
Yeah, it just seemed really odd that, you know, we'd be in this situation that 5 or 6 days that were just absolutely gorgeous, temperatures up in the 70s, lots of sunshine, a beautiful super moon. Got a chance
that it was
that for a couple of nights,
man, like a string of nights, three or four nights there in a row. It was bright as bright could be outside, and I mean, it just, you could look outside and all you would see are like shadows of, you know, from the houses or the trees. Yep. And so forth. It was really cool. I thought it was fantastic.
I did have a friend of mine too said that that's commonly referred to as the hunter's moon as well, because deer season opens up right around that time, or I should say gun season. And a lot of hunters, deer hunters, like to get into their stands early, and the full moonlight gives them an opportunity to get into the woods pretty safely.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. And so
I just get in. I don't know about me getting into the woods. I just get into bed, go to sleep early, and all is well. And, you know, what super moon,
the super
harvest moon.
Moon,
and hunter's moon. So it has three names.
And there's also
interesting.
It was last year. I think the blood moon was last year sometime.
Now, what was that all about? Do you remember?
At a certain angle, the sun reflects like a red haze up on the moon.
It did have a reddish hue to it, because I remember going into the other studio or corner of the station here to look at it, because it was off to the side somewhat.
So it's pretty cool stuff up there.
We have all kinds of moons
drifting around.
So we have the super moon, harvest moon, blood moon, hunter's moon, full moon, quarter moon, half moon,
moon pie. And speaking of pies, we introduced a segment a couple of weeks ago about Around the Table, and we're going to talk a little bit about everyone gathering around the table next week.
Ooh, most
your
definitely.
Favorite holiday.
It's the Big Bird.
Yes.
The Big Bird. Anyone ever call you a turkey?
I've been an ex-husband a couple of times. I've been called a lot of things.
Mm.
But Big Turkey wasn't one of them.
Oh, well, but it is that time of year, that's for sure.
Strapping on the feed bag.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's one of those grazing days.
Were you one of those kind of people that would go to someone's house for Thanksgiving and have to take something home with you?
Well,
you would eat them out of a house and home, wouldn't you? And then you had to take something with you when you left?
No, Thanksgiving growing up was just an awful lot of fun for us. We were hunters. Dad would take myself and my brother Cliff hunting Thanksgiving morning. It was like the tradition.
So what would you hunt for?
Usually rabbit. You know,
Elmer Fudd. We're going to be very, very quiet.
Yeah, and then after that, we'd come back home and enjoy a fantastic meal, and then watch a little football, and then wonderful desserts, pies. My mom used to bake, and I got to give my sisters credit too. My mom and my sisters would spend all day baking and usually start it the night before, and there would be 13 different homemade pies to sample from. Homemade chocolate, homemade butterscotch.
Did you have, so what'd you have? What was it? Pie giving, and you just, someone would bring in some turkey, or I would call that pie giving. 13 pies?
13 pies.
That's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. That's a lot of pies.
Yeah. What about you? What was your favorite part of Thanksgiving?
Really seeing my aunts and uncles and, you know, cousins, and probably, you know, just lounging around after you stuffed yourself until no end, and watching football. And I can still remember this to this day, watching football years ago on Thanksgiving, the Cowboys and so forth. And I mean, I'm going back some time, Roger Staubach days.
Mm-hmm.
I just what comes to memory all the time. But Thanksgiving is a wonderful time, especially for family and friends. And we would always go to two different houses.
Right.
Did you do that, or did you just go to one house?
Not until I got married. You know, well, I take that back. I would go to my high school girlfriend's mom and dad for a little while, and then we would have to pick one where we were going to eat.
Well, it was funny because, you know, my upbringing was somewhat interesting because my dad's side of the family, they were Baptist.
Uh-huh.
Okay, my mom's side of the family were Catholic. So I saw all kinds of things going on both sides. So if we were to go over to my dad's side of the family, and he has five sisters, I don't know. My aunts, they were all great bakers and so forth, and they would have a spread of food, and you would go over there, and they were, you know, it was punch and cookies.
Oh.
And then someone would pinch me on the cheek and say, "My, you're getting so big since the last time I saw you." And again, that was where my Aunt Shirley, bless her heart, one of my favorite aunts, obviously, she would lock us down in the basement because we were just little. I mean, we were loud. I mean, we were just making all kinds of ruckus.
Did you just say lock you down in the basement?
Lock us down in the basement. And my grandfather had purchased a couple big wheels for us.
Uh-huh.
And can you imagine hearing that down in the basement? You remember those big wide plastic tires? I mean, that was big. That was bigger than life to have that big wheel. So that was my dad's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Then we would go there shortly after and go over to my mom's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, you know, it wasn't anyone pinching me on the cheek when we walked in through the front door. "Hey, Jack, how you doing? Come on in. Cooler's right over there. Grab yourself one. Get you a cold one." You know, it was funny. It was like that on both sides. And especially during the Christmas holiday season, my mom's side of the family, it was nothing but Elvis and the Blue Blue Christmas. And that's why I had that attachment to Elvis. You know I have all those velvet posters and I have a collection. Yeah, you know all about that.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
I'm pulling your leg.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that's what I think about during this time of year.
You got me. It's just a fantastic time. It's sort of as the tip-off for the holiday season when we're trying to get all of our friends and our families together and have some fun. We're going to talk a little bit about some other Thanksgiving traditions. And we'd ask last week for you to tell us some of your favorite holiday events or, you know, things like that. If you want to share those with us, look us up and like us on Facebook. And then we'd like to share those too.
You know, what about the people, real quick, that go out to eat for Thanksgiving? What's your flair on that? We're going to take a quick break because when we come out of the break, I want to know I want you to give me your 2 cents worth on that. A lot of people go out to eat.
Yes, they do. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and we are getting you ready for the feast. Thanksgiving.
The big feast.
The big feast.
So, you know, before we went into the break,
uh-huh.
I was asking, you know, what are your thoughts, or have you ever gone out to eat for Thanksgiving?
I don't think I have. I think I've always either gone to my sister's house and when my mom was alive, of course, my mom's house. But I can't honestly say that I've ever gone out to eat the Thanksgiving.
You know, now do you think that's like, I don't know if it's even the right word to say. Is that taboo to do that? I mean, should everyone stay home and cook or go somewhere?
Tony,
I mean, it's,
you know, home is where the heart is.
Oh, Ernie, I tell you what, only you would think of that.
So
only you would come up with.
If a couple of people just want to get together and spend a little quality time, if it isn't a restaurant, that's okay.
No, you gotta have a dad. Well, a couple of years ago, the reason why I brought this up, a couple of years ago, and you remember we were doing our kitchen renovation.
Yeah.
So
quite a big undertaking, too.
Well, nothing like that back hill of yours by any means, you know, or that tree where you cut all that wood. But anyway, during that time frame, we obviously were without a kitchen, so we went down to the Radisson. And it really wasn't a bad gig.
Really?
No.
Nice.
So that, for me, was the, if I'm not mistaken, that was the only time and first time.
When you said that, the first thing that came to mind was the scene from A Christmas Story where they have go out and eat.
Wah, wah, wah. Yes, they duck.
He's smiling.
Wow.
Wham. Cuts its head off right at
that's
the
what, that's what else we need to do is come up. As we get into the holiday season, there's funny snippets or clips of movies and so forth. That's right. That does come to thought. Even though that was Christmas.
There are a lot of people who just don't choose not to cook. And honestly, it is one of those things where sometimes you see those roles reversed where your moms and your sisters or your aunts spend so much time in the kitchen. Every once in a while, it's great just to...
Not a bad gig.
Give them the night off.
Not a bad gig at all. Then you don't have to do all the dishes. Think about that. You know, that's it. That's a tour in itself.
Yeah. Well, most of the Brown family didn't race anywhere, but the race was usually to get from the kitchen table to the couch before anybody else did. You could lay out and watch television.
Right.
But it was always a spectacular event. I have to give my mom, my sisters credit. They always put a great meal out on the table. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it was a fantastic event. There were probably 1 or 2 occasions where you see the...
It got a little sour?
It turned south.
You know, I think it's funny, too, when you have family members that come together, and you know there's that rift between some, and they just kind of, you know, they push that under the table a little bit, or you might hear a little remark, you know, something always ultimately comes out.
Tensions so thick you can cut it with
you know, and after a couple of drinks, you know, might really come out. But always a good time, to say the least. I think that, you know, just in addition to, I want to bring this up as well. I also can envision on the Thanksgiving table, and I think this is so important, and it's not just because I'm involved in the floral business, but I think having a beautiful centerpiece on the table just says it all.
You brought that up a couple of years ago, and I still think it's a fantastic idea.
Right.
If you're going to a gathering over the holidays, get a hold of your local florist or garden center and pick up a centerpiece and bring it as a gift to the person hosting the party or hosting the dinner. That, and granted, it's old school, and a lot of people might think, that's so old-fashioned. But nothing says warm and welcome like an arrangement of flowers. It's just spectacular.
Oh, most definitely. And call up your local florist. If you want to do it yourself, if you're talented enough to do it yourself and you want to do it yourself, it's relatively easy. You can buy bunches of different types of mums and flowers and greenery and so forth and make your own holiday centerpiece. It really does. It makes a wonderful statement on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And also, think about those outside decorations. When family and friends are coming over for the holiday season or for Thanksgiving, you know, a nice fall wreath on a door or maybe some sort of a fall look around the front door if it's in containers or what have you. It says, welcome to our home. And nothing better than just to see, you know, flowers make us feel good.
They do.
They lift our spirits. And like I say this all the time, every time I deliver flowers, if I'm on a couple of deliveries, the first thing that the recipient does she always wants to put up next to her nose and smell the fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes us feel
sure
good.
It does.
It's a proven fact. But I think that's important. So support your local florist.
And that's a great idea. Give them a little heads up. You know, it'd be spectacular to have those delivered. If you know, even if you're not going to make it to somebody, if you know somebody, a relative, or you have a dear friend, send those out so that they'll have them for Thanksgiving. But give your florist plenty of time to work on that. Don't call them at 4 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Well, we might be able to help you. You know, we do, unofficially, we are open on Thursday morning. If in fact, you're last minute and you forgot about a centerpiece for someone's table or taking something to someone's home before you go over for the big turkey fest, we're unofficially open, so you can pick up a centerpiece if you need one at Jackson Florist and Garden Center. But I also, you've been down there before, too. That's the big morning.
Oh, yeah.
we put on a Bloody Mary show, don't we?
It puts you in a Thanksgiving mood.
When you leave, you'll go home glowing. That's what it's all about. And then my buddy Kenny always has to bring White Castles.
Well,
I know. We were talking about that last week a little bit because someone threw out, was it a White Castle dressing?
Yes. Stuffing.
Stuffing.
Yeah, White Castle stuffing. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have a little turkey trivia we're going to toss out in just a little bit. And also, what if you didn't get your fertilization down before the weather today? We'll tell you about that coming up in just a few minutes. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. I mentioned earlier about the weather. It is going to be rainy. It was wet coming in this morning to the studios. Only a high temperature of 45 today. It's going to drop down to freezing, so keep that in mind if you're driving late in the evening. The moisture on the ground, that could be a little slick. The sunshine will return tomorrow, but it's still going to remain cold with a high of 42. Then we get our first really hard frost, or freeze, I should say. With Sunday and Monday, because Sunday night's low will be 26, Monday night's low will be 24, and Tuesday's low, 27.
There it is, Tony.
That's what I was going to ask you. Now we're in that situation that we talked about prior to getting that first hard freeze. Where does this put us with our plants and bulbs?
Well, bulbs, obviously, the ground's not frozen. So, obviously, if you have purchased bulbs or planning on purchasing bulbs, and those are the bulbs you plant in the fall season, for example, like hyacinths, tulips, daffodils, crocus, all those goodies, those go into the ground now. And I think we're going to have plenty of time to manage to work those into the soil and get those set up for next year. And as we come out of the winter months, we'll see some beautiful color come spring. Don't leave the bulbs that you've purchased or that you are going to purchase in the garage. They won't bloom in the garage. I say that all the time. Or in the basement or in the bag. You got to get those in the ground. But most importantly, too, like yesterday, I was really doing my best. I mowed the lawn again. I got my second fall fertilization down. I knew it was going to rain today. Hopefully that will water it in well enough that I wouldn't have to water. Because after I was finished with all of that, I also blew out my irrigation system and winterized all that stuff. So I'm finished. I'm buttoned up. You know, I've managed to do some of those tasks instead of trying to do everything at one time. Ernie, as I was saying a few weeks ago, you know, I cleaned out my garden. I was doing different things. So I'm just trying to... What kind of look is that? You're looking at me like, what? Oh, you're good.
No.
But as I was saying, well, you kind of... I thought you gave me a funny look.
No. I'm just stuck
but getting
with this
those
face.
Things done is so important. Do what?
I'm just stuck with this face at this time.
No. But maybe it's a little too early for you. Maybe you're hungry. I don't know. However, you know, yesterday I was trying my best to get things finished up, and I hope most people have also gotten down their second application of the Fertilum 3-Step program. Here's the thing. I was asked the other day, I've yet to put down my first fall application. Can I still get two down? That's totally unlikely, and I don't want to encourage you to do that. I still think we're going to have some decent temperatures when we're in the 50s that you can still get down at least one of the fall applications. And I do not, you know, you had mentioned we're going to be starting to, you know, get into the situation when we're looking at hard freezes or real heavy frost, hard freezes on the turf itself.
Yeah.
Don't get up early in the morning and do that and walk on the lawn while there's still frost on it, because you're going to see your footprints and you can damage some of the blades, you know, the turf blades. So just wait till it warms up and it's not too wet. You can still, I'm sure, you're going to have plenty of time to get down one of those fall applications. If you've not done both, at least one is better than none. And don't put it off. I want to hone in on mowing your lawn. I've gone as far as into the early part of December. If your lawn's still growing, I still want you to mow it. If it's overly wet and so forth, don't get out there when it's saturated. But start thinking about those things, because if you're ready to tidy up the lawn and do your last mowing, I always encourage people, I notch it down one notch, and I'm finished. So trying to get that last mowing or two in on the lawn is very beneficial. And if you still have some trees that are still dropping leaves, you're going to get those up as well. You can shred those. You can mulch those back into the lawn if it's not too heavy. It's a huge benefit. And then once everything's done and buttoned up, guess what? You know what I want you to do?
Chicken butt.
Get a hold of our good friends over at Bud Herbert Motors. Bud Herbert Motors. And just do it early and get your lawnmower serviced. I just took in, I got to tell you this story, Ernie. The other day I stopped over and I was talking with Jim. And when I dropped off this cool piece of equipment that I bought from my next door neighbor, they just moved. A snowblower.
Oh,
now watch,
man.
It won't snow.
Yeah.
My first ever snowblower, and I've always just shoveled. So I couldn't resist. It was a like brand new. My next door neighbor that moved to our area from New Jersey had only used it four times.
Oh, he doesn't have a riding mower for sale, does he?
No, they're gone, but it looked brand new. So I called up Bud Herbert Motors the other day, and I talked to John. I said, John, I said, you know, I don't typically do this, and this is kind of like a pet peeve of mine. You know, when you buy something somewhere else and you take it somewhere else to get it fixed.
Yes.
You know, I indicated to him, I said, hey, I bought this snowblower. I got it for a steal. It's brand new. This is the style. You know, do you mind just servicing and taking a look at it? He said, oh, no, bring it down, bring it down. So I stopped at Bud Herbert's the other day, and Jim's in there, and one of the guys behind the counter, and, you know, I said, look, I said, I know I didn't get this snowblower here, and I know this is not the brand you sell.
Yeah.
But John told me bring it down. And he goes, oh, let me look at it.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah, we can work on that. So nice. I love those guys at Bud Herbert Motors. They do a wonderful job. And I don't know if you caught this or not, but this is definitely a great plug for those guys. There's a Still commercial that was a national commercial.
They were
in it. So kudos to those guys. That's awesome. So if you need any work done on any power equipment, go see our good friends, Bud Herbert Motors. They're right down there on Spring Grove. Give them a call, 513-541-3290. Take care of your equipment. Remember, a fool with a tool
is still a fool.
Is still a fool. You need to have a good working tool or equipment.
The most expensive piece of equipment you'll ever buy is a cheap one, so avoid that. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, a little turkey trivia. Gobble, gobble.
B105.
Get your holiday on with B105.
Help B105 and Tank stuff the bus. Hey, I'm Big Dave. Stuff the bus with us at Rimke Market off Buttermilk Pike and Crescent Springs today from 11 to 1. Just drop off a non-perishable food item and help our less fortunate neighbors this holiday.
Well, we have to admit it. We're coming up to the tail end of 2016 and the holidays are officially here. You know how I know they're officially here? Because Mattress Firm's Thanksgiving sale is going on right now. So you can shop early for the biggest Black Friday deals in sleep. You're going to need to get a great night's sleep to prepare for the holidays. And Mattress Firm is going to hook you up. Because as soon as you go in to take a test rest at Mattress Firm, they're going to point you in the right direction, find you the perfect mattress, and then they're going to save you some money on it too. You can get a Sealy Firm or Hampton & Rhodes Pillow Top Queen Set for just $299.99 right now. Plus, right now, purchase any custom collection or Tempur-Pedic mattress set and get Mattress Firm bonus cash of up to $300. Now, that's good towards a free pillow, a free mattress protector, and a free frame. And if you're on Twitter and Instagram, use the hashtag ThanksSavings for additional savings at Mattress Firm. You can really be thankful for a great night's sleep tonight. At Mattress Firm, save money, sleep happy.
A revolution in lung cancer treatment is happening at the James. We're proving lung cancer isn't solely defined by location and stage, but rather the individual molecules and genes that drive it. Simply put, there is no routine lung cancer. That's why our world-renowned specialists put their expertise towards treating one particular lung cancer, yours. At the James, we go beyond the routine to prevent, detect, treat, and cure your lung cancer. To learn more, call 1-800-293-5066.
Repurpose a wreath that has seen better days. Adding sprigs of wispy pine, wired ribbon, poinsettias, and colorful ornaments will bring a wonderful new design to that old wreath. Bring your indoor or outdoor wreath to Saxtetters. We will help you bring sparkle to your home. For more holiday inspiration, visit us at Saxtetters Interiors. We're in the heart of Montgomery or I-74 West at the Brookville, Indiana exit. SaxtettersInteriors.com. Come see us at our holiday open house the first 3 weekends in November.
Here at Miami Valley Gaming, the best things come in threes. That's why we're celebrating our third anniversary with a three-car giveaway. On Saturday, December the 10th, you'll have three chances to win your choice of a 2017 Ford Escape or $10,000 cash. Come on down, just off I-75 at exit 29. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky.
See player services for complete rules. Must be 21. Gambling problem in Ohio? Call the Gambling Helpline at 1-800-589-9966.
1,000 new Fords and Chevys on sale now. One location, MikeCastrucci.com.
Let's get back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Call us at 749-B105.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. You're in the driver's seat. What happens over the next 30 to 40, 50 days could be the game changer for your lawn, for your landscape beds, and, of course, coming up next week for the family.
That's most important right
there. Yeah.
That's for sure. I don't know.
Now, do you do all the cooking or does Tina for Thanksgiving? Do you still to go to your dad's or your family?
Well, the last...
or you just...
I'm going to be honest with you. We've yet to really determine anything at this point. We're still on the fence about it, but typically Tina does all the cooking.
Uh-huh.
I get to cut the turkey. So, I don't know. You know, and then sometimes it's just one of those days where Tina and I just want to really... we just want to relax.
Yeah.
You know, we have really good friends that will invite us over and so forth. And it's like, you know, we do want to really come. And then there's that element of us. It's like, yeah, we just want to veg.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's terrible. I hope that's not terrible to say or anyone takes it wrong. But
I'm offended.
I hope not. Come on. You've never invited me to your house for Thanksgiving.
Because we're not there. We're usually somewhere else.
I know.
Now, when you get ready to carve the turkey, do you have the knife sharpener thing and stand around and, you know, running up and down like the butcher does and sing a little song and all that?
Yeah, that's exactly it. How did you know? No, I don't.
Wait a minute. You don't get the electric knife out, do you?
I do.
So
I can't lie, so. I do. Yeah, it just makes it easier. So I do get out the electric. That's what I carve with. Better than a chainsaw. I mean, come on, what do you want me to do? What about you? You just pull it apart? You rip it apart? You tear it apart?
I just wait till it's served and go get a fork.
Got it. Speaking of turkeys, though, have you ever picked one up that's fresh, like a Tuas poultry farm?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's night. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's night and day. When you pick one up like that, that's all the difference in the world. And were you ever one of those guys, did you ever deep fry a turkey?
We have. Yeah, on several occasions. As a matter of fact, my friend Larry York in the Latonia Social Club has their turkey-rama going on today out at the spinning wheel out in Piner. And they will deep fry probably 50 turkeys. It's a fundraiser for the social club. And in turn, he helps with the Northern Kentucky Boys Home Christmas dinner that we help co-host. And what will happen is you go out to the spinning wheel and you participate in the fundraiser. There's turkey, all kinds of great food and gifts and prizes. And there'll probably be 4 deep fryers out there in the lot. And it's deep fry mania, so to speak.
You know, I've never deep fried a turkey. But I know you have to be very, very careful at what you're doing and make sure that that oil is at the correct level and so forth, that you just don't plop that thing in there and it's kind of still frozen or wet, and all of a sudden you have a grease fire.
Right.
Or something splashes up on you. But I've never had a deep-fried turkey.
Oh, it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it stay really nice and moist inside? And
nice,
do you soak it in a brine? You know, usually, for example, like when you cook chicken or pork chops, really to keep that moisture within is to soak them in a brine of some sort.
Just
curious. Yeah. I don't know. Now, I'm not a chef by any means. I just like to cook and experiment.
I like to eat.
I do, too. However, have you ever, or do you know anybody that gets really fancy and technical and they start injecting like, you know, they'll take these big syringes and like.
Sorry. When you said that, I just thought of that Ronco injector thing you used to see on late night TV where the guy, same guy that did the spray on hair, would have this thing where you inject all these herbs and stuff
and spices underneath the turkey skin. Yeah, the flavor. I'm just curious if you've ever done that.
No, I always thought that was a joke.
No, not at all. It's a method of seasoning something. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I guess you just rub butter over the bird and put it in the oven.
I don't do any of that. I eat. But
I was just curious.
It just kind of made me laugh when you said that because I thought of that.
Ronco,
the guy with the spray on hair.
Is he still alive?
I don't know.
Food dehydrator and all that stuff. I bet he made a lot of money.
I
don't know.
An awful lot of money.
Now, would you buy into that hokey stuff? Let me see that, John.
No, the last thing I bought into was the spray.
He's injecting garlic, cloves, cranberries, walnuts, all that stuff into it, I guess. I don't know. Inject. There you go. Infusing things.
Yes.
Well, I was just curious if you did anything of the sort or not.
No. It's a great time. If you get a chance today, if you're free, you're out close to Pinder, stop in the spinning wheel and enjoy the Turkey Rama. It's a great time.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
I know that. And also, if you have any questions and you're thinking about getting a fresh turkey, one that's never been frozen, contact our friends over there at in Northern Kentucky at Tuas Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have a website, too. It's tuasfarm.com, TEWESFARM.com. So check it out. Mm-hmm. I've done that before. And you talk about a lot of people out there. Cars everywhere.
Yeah.
Someone's always directing traffic.
Leave early, get there early, and enjoy the big bird. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We're getting you ready for Thanksgiving and having some fun. Coming up a little later on, we have a couple of people going to be joining us, and we'll talk about an invasive species. And, of course, Margie from Buscheman Supply is going to be joining us, too. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And it is the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And, of course, everyone's hurrying around trying to get ready for the holidays, have family and friends and members of the family coming over for dinner in a little time. And you know, we're curious if you may know what U.S. president determined that we were going to have a single national day of Thanksgiving. Who started it? Who made it official, I should say, because it was it sort of drifted around in the calendar or in the month. And then finally, this president said, we're going to have it on the fourth Thursday. Let us know. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, looking for the name of the president that declared that Thanksgiving will be on the fourth Thursday.
Yeah, think about that one.
And we also want to remind you that now's the time to get all your goodies in. If you're going to shop this weekend. Tony, who's the guy down at Finley Market always hooks you up and takes
care of you? Phil at Mackey's Meats.
Yeah?
Stop by. If you see Phil, ask for Phil. If you don't see Phil, ask for Phil and say, hey, Tony talks about you all the time on B105's in and around the house. Guy always takes care of me. Boy, you talk about fillets. He'll do those center cuts for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hooks me up with really nice, good-looking ribs. We need to have him in here because I don't always know all the parts of the beef. You know what I'm saying? Like the shoulder, the round or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you? Or you just dig in?
No, I just dig in.
But I know that when I'm down there occasionally, I see a lot of the guys from, you know, the various Cincinnati firehouses. They're always stopping in there seeing Phil. And, you know, those guys are always conjuring up great meals, you know, during the week. And if those guys are going to Phil, I know it's good stuff. And then I know personally when I go over there to Mackey's Meat. So Finley, just in general, is a great place to go and hang out and pick up a lot of goodies. You can pick up so much stuff. It's fresh. You just, Ernie, it's incredible. And especially during the summer months when they open up the beer garden.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And there's a restaurant down there. I can't remember the name of it. That was on Diners, Drives, and Dives with Guy Fieri. It's a Vietnamese restaurant, if I'm not mistaken, right there in the heart of Finley. And it's packed all the time. I see people in there, but I don't remember the name of it. A lot of fun when you're down there. You pick up the freshest of the fresh when you're at Finley. The other day when I was down there, I picked up this sun-dried tomato bread that somebody baked. And she also had other types of bread. It was so good. I made these grilled cheese sandwiches with it. And man, it's almost like having the grilled cheese and the tomato soup all at once.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, we have Nick on the line. Hi, Nick.
How you doing?
Doing great. Do you have an answer to our question? What president determined that Thanksgiving was going to be on the fourth Thursday?
If I remember correctly, I think it was President Hoover.
I don't think it's Hoover.
It wasn't Hoover?
No, I don't think it's Hoover.
All right.
Thanks for the call. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back. Welcome back into Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. In a little turkey trivia, we ask who was the president that made Thanksgiving an official holiday? And we have Tom on the line from Fairfield. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Did you have enough time to Google it?
Well, I know. I remember it.
Yeah? Give us a shot.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it's Lincoln.
You are correct.
Right on.
It had been celebrated as a holiday prior to him, but he determined that it was time to make it an official holiday, and he declared the Thanksgiving to give praise to our forefathers and those of us who had helped us get to this point in our lives and to give thanks as a nation.
In 1863, he did that.
Yep. So, Tom, we have a $25 gift card for you from Jackson Florists. And hang on the line. John, our producer, will get some information from you, and then we'll get that to you.
All right.
Thanks. All right. So,
you can attribute the Thanksgiving holiday and thank Abraham Lincoln, that's for sure. That was when the early colonists, they shared the autumn harvest feast with the... I can't say this. Wampanoag Indians? Is that Wampanoag? I don't know. But I can butcher some stuff up, I'm telling you right now. So anyway, that was the right answer.
Right.
You think that's funny, don't you?
I love how you handled it. It was brilliant.
What, brilliant? I don't know.
I can butcher some stuff up.
Tina always tells me that.
You're going to butcher up the turkey.
Yeah, with an electric knife.
With your electric knife.
You think that's funny, don't you?
I do. I just thought it was funny. It's okay.
Oh, I know.
But any way you can get it cut and get it served, I'm happy with.
And just get it fresh. Fresh is best. You know, we're talking about Tuis Poultry Farm right over there in Crescent Springs, right in our neck of the woods. Give them a call. If you're looking to get a fresh bird, the big bird, 859-341-8844.
Awesome.
That's Tuis Poultry Farm. Yeah. So, I can't wait till next Thursday. We're off Thursday. You'll be hanging. Are you coming down to hang out in the morning with Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, I am.
Cool. And don't forget to come tomorrow either.
No, I'll be down there. You get your open house.
Right.
And everybody is getting really geared up and ready for
Christmas, the holiday season, everything.
You sort of kick things off there.
We really do. We've been really busy, and we saw a lot of artificial trees if you're looking to replace an old artificial tree. But it is our official kickoff of the holiday season. We have our open house tomorrow from noon till 4. And a great photo op if you have some little ones. If you've never been, please come. I invite you and your family and the little ones. We have Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus there. It's a wonderful photo opportunity. A lot of great ideas as far as decorating is concerned. Inside, you know, we saw a lot of garlands, different wreaths, different styles. Like I said, the artificial trees. Some of the greens came in yesterday from Oregon.
Nice.
And it felt so weird unloading those wreaths and so forth because it was so warm. But today just gives us that nice feeling that fall is, this is what it should be like. It's nice and crisp. It's cool. So join us tomorrow. It's going to be a fun day. We also have a 3-piece jazz band that will be playing a lot of your Christmas favorites and a wonderful time for everybody involved. And also, if you like candy, if you're stopping down, Ernie, you have to... I know you're going to reach in and grab out the malted milk.
Oh,
I tell you what, they're good too.
Yeah.
They're like that double chocolate, and then when you get to the center where you just crunch down, it's not a hard crunch. You won't lose a crown or you won't crack a tooth. It's gentle on the teeth.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know. That's good stuff. It's not that little guy you would see in the yellow milk carton where he was lifting the dumbbells. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
I don't know where you guys get them, but they're the best I've had.
Local.
Yeah.
We get them local.
Do you?
Yes.
Nice.
It's local, and that's all about local.
We always encourage you to shop locally because 67 cents of every dollar you spend at a local establishment stays in the local economy.
Right. And something I want to emphasize, too, we're talking about local right now, is dress up your table with a beautiful centerpiece for the holiday season for Thanksgiving. And I just want to mention a couple of florists that I want you to support. I'm one of them, obviously, but H.J. Binkin over in Cincinnati, Jackson Florist and Garden Center, our good friends over at Fort Thomas Florist, McCabe's Floral and Greenhouses over in Indiana, and our good friend Ron Robin at Robin's Florist and Garden Center over there in the Delhi area. We're all part of the Cincinnati Flower Growers Association. And it's an association of growers, retailers, suppliers, and educators, most importantly. And we're dedicated to promoting, flowers and the well-being of those around us. So you'll always get great arrangements, quality flowers, and exceptional service from your local florist. So please give one of us a call and pick up a beautiful centerpiece for the table for Thanksgiving.
And, Tony, how appropriate. We're talking about the big bird for Thanksgiving. We have Denny, our birdman friend, on the line. Hi, Denny. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
You was in there talking about birds. I just had to get in there and say hi.
How appropriate.
Always get in and flap your wings, Denny.
I just had to get in there and wish you all happy Thanksgiving and stuff because you were talking about birds and everything. So
Appreciate you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well.
And remind you to keep your bird feeders full.
Yeah.
Your bird baths clean.
Uh-huh.
If you got bird bath heaters, now you'll have to start using them.
Gotcha.
Because of the freezes and stuff, so.
Yeah. And so if most of the birds, I shouldn't say most of them, what birds have already left?
Well, most of your bigger birds, like your starlings and your grackles and things like that, have already all headed south and everything. Of course, the hummingbirds have, too.
Sure, yeah.
But, there's still the little chickadees and the titmice and the cardinals and all of them hanging around yet, so.
Blue jays stay around?
Some do, yeah, some.
Cool.
But, most of the bigger birds have already headed south and everything like that. But, like I said, you still got your regulars around here and things like that, your woodpeckers and everything, so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Denny, I have a quick question for you. Finch feeders.
Yes, sir.
Can thistle seed, does it take long for that to kind of go south or sour? Because I've noticed before where some of the finches won't even touch it.
Well, only if it gets wet.
Only if it gets wet.
Yeah, usually if it gets wet, it gets all stuck together, It kind of gets nasty, a little moldy or whatever, but you got to make sure you clean them out every now and then.
Right. I've just noticed that before, and I thought, if you next time you call in, I want to ask you that.
Yeah. The finch feeders do have a tendency to get water in them every now and then and stuff, and that finch feed will the thistle will stick together and stuff.
Got it.
Big clumps.
Got it.
So you just got to clean that out every now and then and throw it away.
All right. Well, Denny, thank you so much for the call.
You're very welcome. Like I said, have a very happy Thanksgiving.
You as well, and to you, your family. Thanks,
I'll
Denny.
I'll talk to you again.
Bye. Eat early, eat often, eat a lot.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat till you can't move.
What did you say? You take saddlebags with you when you go to the table?
Well, I make sure I wear those expandomatic pants when I go.
Oh, the action slacks. Yeah, the ones that kind of have that little elastic band on the side. I like. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with those.
Now, many years
ago, every guy has a pair of, has to have a pair of action slacks.
Yeah, and you know what a jokester I am.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I made arrangements to get a large pair of, I believe they're called fraternity pants.
What?
Fraternity pants.
From Duluth Trading? Or what?
Many years ago, now fashion is much better, but they used to produce these pants for women who were pregnant that the whole front panel was elastic. So I made arrangements to get a pair of those.
Why?
Well, because it was the joke. I put them on. I put a sweatshirt on over top and went to my family Thanksgiving, and everybody was laughing and joking about how much we were eating and all that. And I said, well, I came prepared and stood up and showed them I had maternity pants on.
Well, you know, there's an element about you I've always been concerned about, and that kind of lends itself to when you took ballet.
I was the most comfortable person at the table.
I bet you were. I don't know. But, yeah, you need those action slacks.
It was a great joke, and it served its purpose.
I always like those guys that wear those, and they outgrow the action slacks, and you can see where the pockets open on the side. That's a telltale sign. You know, you got to.
They're rolled over on the front.
Yeah, go up. Go up in size. Take those, cash them in, trade them in.
Donate them.
Donate them. Keep them in the closet in case you go down a size or two.
Yeah. They didn't shrink in the dryer. Something got outgrown.
I don't know.
Yeah. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And coming up here in just about a half an hour, we have Michelle Stanton. Is that correct?
Yes. We're going to talk about what's bugging you, and it's an invasive plant that's all throughout the tri-state, to be quite honest with you. And I've dealt with it. I'm sure you've dealt with it. You may wonder what it is, but we're going to tell you all about it when Michelle joins us around 7:30. And she is the agricultural agent at the Kenton County Extension Office. And I'm looking forward to having Michelle in. And we're going to talk about this invasive plant that you need to know a little bit more about.
And then right after her appearance here on the show, we have snacks. I mean, Margie is coming in.
See, you're... that is conditioning. That's what we call conditioning.
Yeah.
She always brings us in a snack, and Ernie's relying on that snack, and he's already been snacking all morning.
Got to get in snacking shape.
I know.
But 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We talked a little bit earlier about a couple of things that if by chance you didn't take advantage of the weather and get those fall fertilization applications down, Tony mentioned that it was going to be one of those things where you might have a couple of days later in the week. There is going to be a cold snap here. We're going to see temperatures for three nights in a row down into the 20s. But then coming up later in the week, high temperatures back in the 50s, but more rain in the forecast. Mm-hmm. What does that tell us to do?
Well, I'm still confident we're going to have some decent days where we can still get out there and fertilize if you've yet to have the opportunity to do it. Also, I just have this feeling, too, we'll get another mowing in, perhaps. Like I said earlier, I have cut the yard, you know, going into the early part of December. So, you know, if the weather is conducive enough, our turf is still growing, and I still encourage you, if you can get out on it, it's not too wet, you know, don't get out on it when there's a hard frost on it. You will definitely injure and see, you know, your footprints and the marks, you know, on the turf from where you've been. But I feel confident we're going to be able to still do some things yet before the end of the month, or at least I hope so, but who knows? I mean, we go from one extreme to the other. I've been in those situations, you've seen them as well, that all of a sudden, you know, you're from here to here. You go from, like, what was it yesterday, 70 degrees? And today, 40s. Incredible. And you could hear that wind last night. It was incredible. And so you never know about what the weather's going to bring us here in the Cincinnati area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take advantage of situations, you know, especially when the weather's conducive enough to get some of these things done. I know that yesterday I left work a little early. I snuck out, played a little hooky, mowed the grass, fertilized. I knew it was going to rain today, and I thought it was a perfect opportunity to get down that second fertilization for the fall season, part of that three-step program with Fertiloom, the Lawn Food Plus Iron, the Orange Bag that you can only buy at your local independent garden centers and nurseries. I still think we can get a fertilization down. Don't try and muster in two because you're not going to have enough time in between. So you do what you can manage to do at this point in time, you know, during the season. I don't know what lies ahead. You know what the weather's like here.
Yeah, wait 2 or 3 days, it'll change.
I wish we would get a little bit more moisture, though. That's what's really key, especially for our conifers, our shrubs, our trees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has been relatively dry. There's no doubt about it. I know that the fall season has been prolonged. We've had some warm temperatures. And like I said yesterday, we were unloading. We get a direct shipment out of Oregon with our fresh greens. And as we were unloading the truck, I'm like, this is crazy. You know, if it would have been today, it would have been perfect. But we were scrambling, you know, we unloaded things, get the count on what's coming in. And then we're fortunate we have coolers, big walk-in coolers we take our greens into, and we can keep them fresh. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that kind of stuff, our good friends over at Burger Farm, they got all of their cut trees in. And from what I understand, Ken had mentioned that by next Wednesday, they'll be in full bore.
Okay.
And Burger Farms does a lot of cut trees. They're unique in such a way that I don't know how many trees that they actually install and set up for people, but that's a very nice service. So if you always get a cut tree and you don't want to put it up anymore, or you don't have the wherewithal to, you know, just manage it and get it up, call our good friends at Burger Farm and they'll do it for you.
So how long does a freshly cut tree last? How long can it be healthy?
Well, it depends on a lot of things, you know, when it was cut. Mm-hmm. And most of them, you know, they've already been cut. But the beauty of it is this, is that most people will use or buy or purchase Fraser firs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very durable tree. It's a long-lasting tree once it's cut. As long as you get a good fresh cut on it, keep it watered and it drawing water. And when you're inside, do not put it near a heat source. You know, especially if you have those old radiator water heaters, stuff like that, or you have a heat vent that's close by, that will have a tendency to dry them out. But right after Thanksgiving, I wouldn't even hesitate to put up a fresh tree.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, we're not using the old trees like we used to. You know, still there are those people that will buy the old Scotch pine. It will dry out, but a lot of people like the old Scotch pines. One of my favorites is the old traditional balsam. And we got some of those coming in this year. We found another source for them. The last couple of years, we've not had the balsam. That is the one that has like the big gap between the branch layers. And I love that tree. That's the one that reminds me of Christmas when I was a youngster. So the balsam is really another nice tree. We would not put that up until a couple weeks before Christmas because it would have a tendency to get dry.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we were using the old C7 lights on that bad Oscar. Those things heat up. So
Yeah. Just,
again, you know, if you can't put up your own cut tree and you're in need of somebody to do that, get with our friends over at Burger Farms, and they'll be happy to do it for you.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And we've been covering a lot of ground this morning. We're talking about the Thanksgiving holiday that's coming up this next Thursday, which is always a great time for everybody involved. And actually one of my favorite times of the year. Get to sit around the table, take in quite a bit of some good turkey dressing, potatoes, whatever, you name it. And sit around and then get the opportunity to watch football, which is what I enjoy the most. And we were also talking a little bit about, be sure to dress up the table with a centerpiece. I can't say this enough, and I think that really makes it. And if you get a centerpiece that has those nice-looking candles in it, which we all like the candles, make sure if you light those candles, you don't walk away from the table unattended. I have seen this happen before where something happens as a result of that, and it's just being a little irresponsible. But make sure that somebody's always around that table. If you're using centerpieces with candles, that's so important. And also, I also want to say this, that support your local florist. And I'm not just saying that because we have a florist in a garden center as well. The local florist here in the Cincinnati area do a wonderful job. And just to give you a couple of names, a couple of people to visit or call in orders from, H.J. Binken, of course, Jackson Florist and Garden Center, Fort Thomas Florist, McCabe's Floral and Greenhouses over in Indiana, and our good friend Ron Robin over in the Delhi area at Robin's Florist and Garden Center. We're all members of the Cincinnati Flower Growers Association. And like I said a little bit ago, it's an association of growers, retailers, suppliers, and educators that are dedicated to promoting flowers and the well-being of those around us. And you will always get beautiful arrangements, quality flowers, and exceptional service. So please support your local florist this upcoming holiday season.
I love that idea about putting the centerpiece on the table as well. Sort of a return to some rich traditions.
You know, you're right. When Karen was here, we were talking about that. And it's just that feeling. And that's what we all need to capture. And I say this all the time. I was telling you earlier, in our business, we sell you the things that make you feel good. Mm-hmm. We're not, the things that we sell aren't like basic needs. You know, it's not like eggs, cheese, milk. You know, it's stuff that makes you feel good, and that's what it's all about, that good feeling and getting together with family and friends.
I couldn't agree more. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. I want to encourage you to jump onto our Facebook page, too. We have all kinds of information available there and some pictures from the last couple of days. And Tony, of course, will be posting more pictures as we get closer. Maybe some ideas about those centerpieces.
Oh, I can do that. You know, and two, I want to tell you something. Yesterday, I was taking some photographs of my neighbor's tree across the street. They have a red sunset maple, and every year this time, I'm in amazement, Ernie. I just keep staring at this tree. So I went over yesterday and took some photographs. I've just been really busy, and I need to get these on Facebook so you can, appreciate the beauty of this, the red sunset maple. And the way the sun was hitting it, it was just drop dead gorgeous, Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you how mild it's been this fall. Last year at this time, that tree was almost dropped all of its leaves.
Wow.
So it's held on to its foliage for a long period of time. It's starting to turn that nice red color.
Speaking of our burning bush, Lisa was telling me that our burning bush has really changed colors. It exploded after those first two nights where we had a frost, and suddenly it is gorgeous all over.
Oh, I'm telling you, you're just seeing an abundance of some plants, trees, species just showing that fall color. I was up on Gray Road the other day, and I made it a point to cut through Spring Grove Cemetery.
Wow.
And if you've not been in Spring Grove Cemetery, what a wonderful arboretum. There's just so many species of trees in there. And gosh, if you really want to know what something looks like, go over there. I was just taken. I pulled over, and all of a sudden I'm looking at this tree, I'm looking at that tree, and I'm like, I felt like a kid in a candy store. And, I saw a grouping of paper bark maples, which are just, they're wonderful species to have in the landscape. The bark exfoliates. And then I saw another maple, and I was just looking at it. It's a hybrid variety called Girard's maple. And it has a cinnamon-looking bark. It was a beautiful tree. Just had that red color to it. I could have just stayed over there all day. Of course, I had to get back to work. And, again, if you get an opportunity, stroll through Spring Grove. It's so worth it. And get to see, the trees right now in their glory, just showing off their fall color. Some of those that still have fall color. This year was a little different season because of, it being as dry as it was. I didn't think that we had the fall showing that we normally get.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of how dry it has been, I noticed that both the counties, or all three counties, Boone, Kenton, and Campbell, I believe Boone County did, but I know Kenton Campbell did, issued a burn ban, because of the dry weather conditions.
Oh, absolutely. I hope we get some decent moisture today. We need it. Uh-huh. And if we don't get it, we said this last week, you know, make sure that you water things in well going in towards the tail end of the fall. Mm-hmm. It's so important, especially for our evergreens, our azaleas, our rhododendrons, you know, you name it, boxwoods. Having that abundance of moisture going into the winter months is so, so important and critical for its survival. You know, the winter winds will just beat up evergreens, mm-hmm. and you don't know what lies ahead.
Yep. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our guest, Michelle Stanton, has arrived. We need to get her situated, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about an invasive species that could be bugging you. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we got a couple of things that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on with Margie at Bushelman Supply. But Michelle Stanton, our guest from the Kenton County Extension Agency, has arrived. And I want to tell you, welcome.
Thank you. And, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Glad good morning to you, and thanks for getting up. Yeah, glad you found us. You said, you found us on Google Earth?
I found you on Google Earth first just to make sure I had the right place and drove right in.
Fantastic. Good.
But we were talking a little bit earlier in the show. You know, we have a segment called What's Bugging You? And I know that you and I have been trying to connect and get together to talk about some of these things. But I know that I've been plagued with it, and a lot of other people are too. And we're talking about an invasive species. And that is honeysuckle. Right. And you just recently had a class about eradicating honeysuckle. So tell us a little bit about it and where the problems lie.
So honeysuckle was originally brought to the U.S. in the late 1800s to botanical gardens because it was a pretty plant. And, of course, that's what botanical gardens do, is bring in new plants. And so by the 1920s, it was discovered that some of it was escaping. Birds love the berries.
Mm-hmm.
And so birds were spreading it. And then someone got the bright idea that this plant would be really good for wildlife because of its berries. And so it was being encouraged as a planting for wildlife habitat. And then erosion control. So we started out and did this to ourselves. But, of course, now it's everywhere, and we realized, well, it wasn't such a good idea.
And, you know, we find that out often, too, don't we? We introduce all these species of plants, and for example, we're going to get back to the honeysuckle, but it was like the Bradford pear, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Mm. Boy, what do we do to ourselves sometimes? But the honeysuckle is crazy, and how do you know? I want to know who brought it over first, so we can.
you want to point fingers.
I
want to
point. I want to go to the source right now.
I think they're long gone, unfortunately.
Guys, what a mess, too. You know, I just cut some out the other day. Well, it was a few weeks ago, but the importance of right now talking about honeysuckle is because this is one of the better times to get rid of it, right?
Oh, this is a wonderful time to get rid of it, because if you drive around anywhere this weekend, you will see that the trees have lost most of their leaves. So what do we see with the leaves on? It's the bush honeysuckles.
Oh, okay.
So they stand out. So this is a wonderful time right now because you can see it. If it were earlier in the summer, it would blend in with the other things, and you might not be sure which is the honeysuckle, but it sticks out like a sore thumb right now.
Yeah.
So we know what to go after.
You know, it was one of those, growing up when Independence was more of a farming community about 100 years ago when I was a kid, growing up running around in the creek and the woods and up on Wilson's Mountain, we used to love going to, when the honeysuckle was in bloom, pulling those off and eating those, or, you know, enjoying the honey. But then to come up later on in life to know that this thing is killing everything within sight and just a nuisance.
Oh, it is.
It just amazes you.
So where does the problem, Michelle, come into play? You know, I look at some of these things, you know, I know it's everywhere and it's crazy. It definitely isn't an invasive species. I know there's some elements about it that are positive, and one being erosion control.
Right.
I mean, first and foremost, you know, we got to keep some of the hillsides intact. But, you know, what are some of the problems that are posed with it?
So one of the problems is that it chokes out some of our more desirable native species.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a foothold really quickly, which is great for the erosion control, but it grows in these great clumps or thickets. And in doing so, it shades out the seedlings of our native species. It also does something very interesting. It's practicing some plant chemical warfare. It produces chemicals in its leaves and its roots that either damage some of our native plants as they try to grow or mm-hmm. prevent seedlings from coming up.
What is that term? Is
allelopathy.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
So it's like the black walnut tree, Ernie.
Yeah.
You know, and,
right.
And even I think perennial ryegrass does to a degree as well. So it's interesting how some plant species can protect itself and keep itself, you know, strong and going by, you know, posing a threat to others.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
If you think about it, if there's a danger, a plant can't go anywhere. It's got to do something on the spot to protect itself. So chemical warfare is one of the things that plants do.
Very good.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Wow. It's not new to the planet, is
no.
it? You know?
No.
So how many species are there? Because I was reading a little bit of your information that the armor is the most familiar variety that we see in Kentucky, obviously,
right.
and throughout Ohio, perhaps, and other places. And I guess, can it hybridize rather easily amongst one another?
So as far as I know, the Amur honeysuckle,
mm-hmm.
and for those of you who are into your plants, this is Lanicera mackeyi. So I don't believe that that one hybridizes.
Okay.
There's the Japanese honeysuckle, which is the vining one that smells so sweet that Ernie said he enjoyed as a child. There's that one, but that's the vine. And then there's a couple of other bush honeysuckles, and I don't see them as often around here. I've seen some of them in Columbus and in parts north, but maybe not right here in the tri-state.
Right. The vining one's one I remember. You would go over to the bloom and you'd pull the stamen out.
Yeah.
You'd,
right.
Like, oh, just put it on your tongue, and that honey was so good.
And they smell so good.
Yes.
Yes. And that one's a problem, too, unfortunately.
Is it? Oh, what a shame. Yeah, because it does. It's a wonderful aroma.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I do, too, and it's great. And I have a great story to tell you about my friend Gordy Dunn when we get off the air, but it's not one of those we can share.
on the air,
but it's hilarious. And it just is a shame because, you know, apparently when you were talking earlier, wildlife species enjoy it, the honeysuckle, and it is aromatic. It's pleasing to the taste, but all those good things don't outweigh the bad.
Correct. You know? So one of the reasons we don't like it, the birds love the berries, but they're very high in carbohydrates, which is good, but some of the native berries that they might be eating instead have more proteins and fats in them. So they're actually eating the plant version of junk food.
Well, we all like junk food.
Yeah,
so honeysuckle is like the McDonald's of the world in the forest?
No, you kidding. Know, that's a great analogy because we remember when we had, I'm losing her name right now, from Turpin Farms.
Yeah, Pam.
Pam came in and advised us that a lot of people plant these butterfly bushes and they do more harm than they do good because they give the butterflies the wrong information or a food source that's not good for them.
Right. I think what you're saying is that there's an asclepias that's more of a tropical version of the butterfly weed that... has a tendency to last a little longer and bloom, and it keeps the hummingbirds around, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So, and then I think, too, that she was, just as you mentioned, you know, I know we call it the Bud Lee of the butterfly bush, which has a definitely a great source of nectar for the butterfly, but is that as good for the butterflies as we're led to believe?
Well, the nectar, I don't believe the nectar is a problem, but the thing is that many of the butterflies need their larval host, which is the plant they need to raise their caterpillars on.
Which is the asclepias.
Which is, right. So if you're talking about monarchs, that's the asclepias, right.
Interesting. You know, when it comes to controlling, you know, honeysuckle, there's a number of different things that you can do. And based on those things that you can do, it really comes down to the time of the year. Is that right?
Correct. So there's a number of herbicides, which is a pesticide specifically to kill a plant, that you can use on the honeysuckle. But the one that works probably the best, at least that homeowners can buy, is Roundup or the generic form, which is the chemical glyphosate. And I bet you have some of that available at your store, and you can find it readily in many places, any of the big box stores, nurseries, whatnot. So that is the chemical that you're probably going to look for. It works really well, and it's readily available. So
what about,
that's number one.
So is that going to be your number one go-to versus, like, I know some people are trying to mechanically remove, you know, the honeysuckle bush, and probably not with with great success unless they're using that in combination with perhaps a chemical control as well.
Right, you just hit on that. So right now, the trees have mostly lost their leaves, and when doing so, they're a little bit less susceptible to damage from an herbicide. But since the honeysuckle still has its leaves on it, you can see it. What I'm going to recommend that you do right now, Thanksgiving weekend, here's your thing to do outdoors. Go take pruners, loppers, chainsaw, whatever you need. Cut down your honeysuckle almost to the base, and then paint the stump with Roundup. And in particular, and there's both Kentucky's extension and Ohio's extension have flyers on that that we can get to people. Or you can Google. The Kentucky one is called Invasive Plant Hit List Bush Honeysuckle. So that's the Kentucky version of the handout. And then Ohio State has one that's called Controlling Non-Native Invasive Plants in Ohio Forests Bush Honeysuckle. Either one of these publications have directions on what to do. So this weekend, mark your honeysuckle, put a ribbon around it or something so that you know for sure what it is. Then go out, get some Roundup in the highest strength you can find. And what we're going to look for is 40% strength.
Or better.
Or better.
Right.
And that's pretty high.
And typically, and it's great that you mentioned that, because the most common Roundup that people see on the store shelves is the one with the red cap. That's not enough glyphosate.
Right, and the ready-to-use or the hose and sprayer ones are not the ones.
It's not going to work. You need to look for the purple cap of Roundup. That's the one, I think it has 46, 47% glyphosate in it. Or look for Kilzol, which is a high-yield product that has 41% glyphosate in it. And those work extremely well. And like you said, when you cut that stump, you need to put that on it immediately.
Correct. You don't want the stump to dry out. So if you need to, have two of you on this project. One person's doing the cutting, the other has the herbicide with a paintbrush, and they're brushing the stump. If it's a really large thicket of honeysuckle and the stump has a greater diameter, then you want to make sure you brush the outer one-third of the stump. That's the active area that's going to carry that herbicide down into the root system and do the killing.
Oh, I tell you what, honeysuckle is rough. I don't like it.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We're talking with Michelle Stanton from the Kenton County Extension Office, and we're talking about honeysuckle and other invasive species. We need to pause for a moment, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys, and what's bugging you, or perhaps a lot of people in the tri-state area. I know I've had issues with it before in the past, and our good friend Michelle Stanton from the Kenton County Extension Office is here with us to talk a little bit about an invasive species that's all throughout the tri-state area, and that is honeysuckle. And honeysuckle can be a nuisance, and we're going to get into some details on how to control it in just a moment. And we're going to go to Mark from Loveland here in a second. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You were talking about eradicating honeysuckle.
Right.
My wife and I spent 3 years eradicating it in our woods.
Yay.
And we did a similar thing to you, except we used a brush killer.
Mm-hmm.
We used it straight on the stumps. We took a dish detergent bottle.
Right.
And we cut them off and then, you know, squirt, as you say, the top of the stump. And we would do that a couple, three times over 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked quite well, but it's still a constant battle because somehow it still comes back into the yard, either by the seeds that the neighbors don't deal with or the birds that spread them. So, you know, every year we're still walking out looking for little ones and taking them out.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's not a one-and-done kind of thing.
No, it takes some effort. It really does. You're right. It's not one of those a one and done, a one shot deal. It takes a lot of effort on everyone's part to eradicate things like that. You're probably, and chime in any time, Michelle, you're probably experiencing a little of both. Still a part of that plant, still alive, maybe because of its root structure, intricate root system. And perhaps, the birds too spreading it as well.
So one of the things that's important is timing for eradication. So for example, one of the best times to do it is right now, only partly because it's so visible. The other reason is that plants in the fall are taking the carbohydrates and the nutrients in their leaves. They are moving them down into the root systems to store them over the winter. And so we take advantage of this in the plant's metabolism. When you spray the plant, or more likely if you can cut it and do the stump treatment, the plant is taking that chemical as part of what it does naturally, moving that down into the roots so that you get a more effective kill. Now, nothing is 100%, but studies have indicated that if you do it right now, that you can get 90 to 95% kill on these things, which is wonderful. Now, you brought up something else, and that is there are a few other chemicals on the market besides Roundup that you can also use. So one of them is called triclopyr, and I don't know what's in the brush killer that you were using. That might be one of the chemicals. One of the things that our listeners should know, and this is just a good reminder, is when you use any pesticide, be absolutely sure that you're reading the label and following the instructions very carefully. If you do that, that is your protection, that you are following. When you read and follow the label instructions, then that covers you legally. And not only that, you're much more likely to have success.
What product were you using, Mark? Do you remember?
It was Ortho's brush.
Ortho. It may have had like triclopyr in it or some form of it.
Yeah, it was a concentrate.
Yeah.
So, for the stumps, I just, like I said, put it in a dish detergent bottle and squirted it on the top. And, the benefit of getting rid of that honeysuckle is now all the wildflowers that are there.
Right.
That were never visible before. I called the extension agent and said, how do I get some wildflower seeds that I want to put in my woods? And she just laughed and said, once the honeysuckle are gone, those seeds are already there. You'll see them in the spring. And we did.
Right. They're there in the soil. They stay alive, or what we call viable, for quite a few years. They're just waiting for light and moisture to be able to germinate. And the honeysuckle was preventing them from getting the light, or the seedlings that would have come up would have succumbed to the chemicals produced by the roots in the honeysuckle plant.
So that's a benefit that, you get when you get rid of that honeysuckle.
Right.
You get a lot more viable woods.
Right. You get some of those wonderful wildflowers that you like. So here's another benefit from getting rid of the honeysuckle, and that is that our native pollinators that we are so worried about, they depend on the wildflowers that are normally or native to the woods. And so when you have a big patch of the honeysuckle, you don't have those flowers for the pollinators. But if you get rid of the honeysuckle, they come back.
Yeah, so, that's right on.
So several of our neighbors, four of us have gotten honeysuckle off of our hill, and it's just amazing what the woods look like in the spring.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yeah, good deal. Thanks for sharing that with us, Mark. And you and your family, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And you too.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Bye.
But identifying honeysuckle too, Michelle, is interesting because it's one of those. Tell us some of the characteristics of it. How can we identify it rather quickly in the year? And what are we looking for? What are the traits that we're looking for that says, hey, I'm honeysuckle, get rid of me?
Okay, so you know that the leaves are still on it right now. That's part of it. So when you look at the leaves along the stem, they're opposite each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you, when you stretch your arms out, your arms are opposite each other along your body. Well, that's the way the leaves are on the honeysuckle. So that's the first thing. It's a very thickety, it's a dense shrub that produces lots of branches coming out from the same point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another characteristic. It doesn't produce one main trunk,
right,
like a tree. It's usually anywhere from 10 to 20 feet tall, so it's a big shrub. The leaves aren't bright colored. Right now, they're kind of a dull yellow.
Right.
They're fading.
Right. But it's one of those, too, that it's the first to green up and flush out in the springtime before the trees canopy over. So that's another marker for it. Also, too, it's real interesting. It has an interesting vertical pattern to the trunk of it or to the stems. This kind of vertical, it's pretty distinctive, I think.
Right. The bark has kind of a stripe look to it.
Right, right.
It's not actually stripe, but the way the bark grows, it grows in little strips, so it looks kind of stripey.
Right. And it also, too, this time of year, you'll see the berries on it, and that's what the birds gravitate towards. And when they eat the berries, you know, they're getting some carbohydrates and some energy. But they're also in flight dispersing the seed throughout.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's one of those things, and thankful to Mark, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are getting rid of honeysuckle in every way possible, shape, or form. And just, he hit the nail on the head. Just getting rid of it allowed some other things to come about and grow just naturally. So that's the importance of it. And this has really been bothering a lot of people for a number of years. I know that I had some honeysuckle issues down in the back of my yard. I did just that, you know, depending upon what time of year it was. I cut it down to a stump, and then I was putting triclopyr on it or glyphosate right away, and it always seemed to do the job.
And it does. Now, if you go and you get the Ohio State handout, it also mentions some other chemicals that you can use. For example, if you have a woodlot and many acres, you might want to use a product called Garlon 4, which is a triclopyr. And some of those products are applied when you mix them with an oil. And the advantage of that is that the stump can be a little bit drier and still absorb a good kill. Right.
Got it.
But you can't do that with Roundup. It's got to be a fresh stump.
Now, is Roundup. That particular product, do you have to be licensed to use that?
I believe there's a couple of formulations that you do not, but they're harder to get. You're probably going to have to order it online or at a specialty farm store.
Got it. You know, something else I thought was interesting, and this might be part of it too, is that the basal approach to the bark that you were just mentioning with the Guylon?
Do that with Roundup, too. So we'll talk about that because that's the one your listeners are more likely to find.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do what's called a basal spray, what you're going to do is go ahead and spray, use the same chemical, follow the directions. You're going to use a very concentrated spray, and you're going to apply that to the lower 12 to 18 inches of the trunk. So I'm assuming at that point that you're going to have to get in and be crawling around that thicket to do that because you don't want to be spraying other areas and possibly damaging other more valuable plants.
Right, you have to be careful with what you're spraying, that's for sure. But I never heard of that approach, and I thought that was an interesting one, to say the least. It's usually the mechanical pulling, lifting, or digging, or you know the approach I've always taken was cut the stump, apply a product to it. What about foliar situations? Is that better done at any specific time throughout the year?
So the foliar sprays are not very effective once the plant is maturing, the leaves have fully expanded, they're just a little bit tougher. That would be something you'd want to do in the spring. If you did it in the summer and you were worried that it didn't work, that's why it's a timing thing. So you do want to do that in the spring.
But, you know, It's interesting just how invasive this species has been or has become. And I was amazed that I like to find the fellow that brought it over and introduced it to us.
It's just like some enthusiastic botanist.
Because there's a, very enthusiastic to say the least. I know that there's another invasive species. Not only is it really honeysuckle, but if you go a little south of here, we were talking about this in a break. Is kudzu, you know.
Oh, my goodness, and I was
just asking you about that a moment ago. Have you spotted that? Is that in some areas here in the tri-state area?
Oh, it is. So for those of you who want to take a little drive up the river, I believe there are some along the river in Ripley and a few areas like that. So there are different forms of kudzu, and I didn't research this before I came in.
It's another invasive species.
And so here's an interesting thing for your listeners. There are ways to define what's an invasive species. So
Ernie's one. Especially at the table at Thanksgiving.
That I am.
Right. So do you know what makes an invasive species? This is kind of interesting.
No, you know, I don't know the true definition of it. If it's, well, I look at things like that. Anything can be a ground cover if you plant enough of it.
Right.
You know, but what's the definition of a true invasive species? Is it somebody that says, hey, this is invasive and it's a problem? Or is it just something we see a lot of? Is it
So it's more than that. So first of all, it's something that's not from the area where it's growing.
It's non-native, yeah.
It's not native.
Got that.
The other thing is it's starting to spread in an uncontrolled or unplanned manner. It gets out of hand really quickly, and it's escaping. So that's another characteristic. And then finally, it's a plant that's doing harm to possibly human health. For example, ragweed. That's not native. How many people have allergy problems because of that plant?
Me.
Yeah. Or it's doing harm to the environment, like the honeysuckle or the kudzu. Think of the poor people who are managing plantations or nurseries or rail lines. That's doing grave economic harm. So those are your criteria.
Interesting. I like it. I just know that, you know, a weed, is it something you don't want? Or what is the true definition of a weed? Anything could be a weed.
Right.
You know,
so, it's a plant where you don't want it.
Yeah, it's a plant where you don't want it. That's true.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We are talking with Michelle Stanton from the Kenton County Extension Agency, and we're also talking about invasive species. And I just thought I was going to be a sufferer of allergies because ragweed was a native here, and it's been a lifelong pain in my
nose. Oh, it's awful, but it is not native.
We need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some more invasive species. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we've been fortunate enough to have Michelle Stanton from the Kenton County Extension Agency join us. And we've been talking about invasive species, and honeysuckle is one of them that's been a really big issue. But we've touched base about a couple of things.
Yeah, you know, Lithrum is another one. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ernie.
No, that was it.
No, we were talking about invasive species, and you know, we need to do our part, be good stewards of the earth, and try and get rid of some of these invasive species. And on the hot list this morning, it's been honeysuckle. And Michelle, thank you so much for sharing some of this information that you've so diligently have worked on recent weeks. And I think you just recently had a class talking about eradicating honeysuckle, and it's an important thing that we need to do. And give us a little bit of information about the Extension office over in Kenton County, and some contact information as well.
All right. So each one of the Kentucky counties has an Extension agency. So we've got one in Campbell, Kenton, and Boone. And we would encourage you to contact your Extension agency for all kinds of questions. So I deal with horticulture. So if you're talking about your lawn and garden, your fruit trees, your woods, that kind of thing. But we also have family and consumer sciences, 4-H, financial management, all kinds of things. So for Kenton County, it's 859-356-3155. For Boone County, 859-586-6101. And for Campbell, 859-572-2600. For Ohio, you can Google this. I don't have those numbers right at my fingertips, but Hamilton, Butler, Claremont, Warren, all of those counties have Extension agency personnel. Google the Ohio State University Extension, and that should come up for you.
You guys do a wonderful job. Thank you very much, and be sure, stop out and see Michelle, Kenton County Extension Office. It's just right out there on Marshall Road, right on the corner of Taylor Mill and Marshall. When I try to tell people, like, where you are, it's like,
we're in the southern end of the county.
You're in the southern end of the county.
That fools people, but that's where we are.
Yeah. It's been great. 749-B105, in and around the house. And thank you so much for coming in, and promise you'll come back.
I will. My pleasure. Thank you
for having me.
I have to tell you that I'd like to have you share. She asked if we can get a copy of this. Tell us about your mom.
So my mom is 86, and I told her that I was going to be doing this. And she was so excited, and she said, oh, please get me a tape. I want to hear.
Okay. We'll do that.
We will get you a copy to get to your mom.
And you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for stopping in this morning, and we'll do it again.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Ernie. It's been a pleasure.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. Margie from Bushelman Supply is here. She's up next. Welcome back into Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and we'd be famished if it weren't for our friend Margie from Buschelman's. We had a great morning already. It just got spectacular with the...
This is Thanksgiving right here.
It is.
Part of it.
It is. But Margie from Buschelman Supply always joins us, and it's great to have her with us, and she always brings us little goodies. Tony was giving me so much grief because I mentioned that early this morning. He said, you're putting too much pressure on her.
No, you know what? I love to cook, guys. I really do.
And I love to eat. Thanks for two of them. Oh, this one's for John.
That's for John. That's for John. That's for John, Ernie.
Okay.
Well, John, you better get over
John,
here.
You better watch it. It'll be gone quickly. Thank you so much. So how have you been? What's going on at Buschelman Supply?
Well, before we get to that, what did you bring us?
It's a double butter. I call it a coffee cake. Some people, and Grater's makes them, and theirs is way better, but this one's not too bad. So
I don't know. I think when they're made at home, there's something special about it.
It's a pass.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't it? We are. We're literally eating right now. It's
okay,
very good.
Well, I'll talk while they're eating.
Good. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I was expecting him to take a bite either.
I just finished a little piece off of there, yeah.
His mouth was full. I thought, well, one of us has got to talk. Well, oh, that's awesome.
One thing we did just recently is we started a Facebook account. Just shoot me now.
No!
No, that's a great way to stay in touch with
you. You will love it.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
You will.
I can't even use my telephone.
It's just like riding a bike.
But we're supposed to, and I'm going to give us a plug. We're supposed to ask everybody to like us, which I have no clue what that means. But anyway, to get people to do that, we're giving away a $50 gift certificate, Amazon gift certificate. This is all up to the advertising people. Yep. I have no clue, I want to have any clue.
Well, it's really easy. What happens is your clients and your customers will go to your page and click the like button. And then when you post things on there, they'll see them right away. It is a fantastic tool.
Did you just do this recently?
I think in September, I want to say. I think.
Well, we're going to look it up right now.
See it.
You do?
I have no clue.
I do. And there you go. There's a like. I'm in for a gift card. Bingo. Yeah, that looks really nice.
Well, you know, I've kind of been dragged into this kicking and screaming because I'm not into this stuff. To me, the computer's a tool for me to use for my work. I'm much more into face-to-face.
It's
great from a visual standpoint because on your Facebook page, you see the different variations of stone in the wall that you're using and so forth. Very nice.
Well, we're supposed to try to gather up some pictures, like before and after pictures of like jobs and projects and stuff like that. So,
we'll check that out.
But I have no clue. So
you're going to be great.
Kurt told me one time it was like working with a dinosaur, and I told him, I said, well, you best get used to it till I leave. We're not into
the dinosaur machine would be the one you'd have to load up DOS. Remember that, Ernie?
Oh, my gosh. I remember DOS. Yeah.
Load up the old DOS.
And their first computer was DOS. Operating system. Yep.
That's for sure. So tell us a little bit what's going on up there. You got the new Facebook page all up and running, and that's really cool. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to like that.
I hope. I don't know.
And you got a lot of stuff to put on there. All the hardscaping supplies that you have up there. The garage door business that you guys are so heavily involved with and all that good stuff. And we were talking the other day on the phone that you said that you're still doing a lot of installs at this point in time, right?
Well, mostly like gravel. I mean, we do little stuff because we don't want to compete with the landscapers. But some of those jobs are so small. Mm-hmm. If they've got a crew, I mean, they can't make any money. So, and then, too, I like to do installs because it keeps the guys aware and know how to do things. So when customers are talking to them, they can intelligently answer questions and give good advice. So, but the garage doors, we're going crazy.
After you had the September sale, right? And do you still have a sale?
No, that's usually over by the middle of October. But we've just been really, really busy. And of course, we're shorthanded. So, like everybody.
I've been there, experienced that.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard with the garage door guys because, I mean, you need somebody with at least a basic
understanding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. of like tools and how things work. And they have to be pretty cognizant of what, if they do this, they could get hurt kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, because they're dangerous.
Yeah.
So, but no, we're real busy with garage doors right now. And we've been busy at the store too because the weather's been so great. Isn't this awesome?
Wonderful.
Oh, man.
It definitely, there's been an extension on the fall season, yeah. That's for sure.
Oh, there's still tons of leaves out there.
Yeah.
All my guys are fussing because they've still got. They still have leaf cleanup to do, and the leaves aren't down yet. So,
yeah.
You know what's going to happen? It's going to snow.
Oh.
And all the leaves are going to be mixed up in all the snow, and it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, that would be a mess. That would put a lot of unnecessary weight on a lot of trees.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Yeah, with the leaves still on.
749 B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friend Margie from Buschelman Supply has joined us, and we want to encourage you to go to Buschelman Supply Company Facebook page. That's BUSHELMAN. And did I say that correctly? BUSHELMAN, yep. Buschelman Supply Company. And first check out the picture on our Facebook page, but then go to their page and like it and check it out. We're going to link to that so you can get a chance to see that delicious breakfast coffee cake that we have. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Margie from Buschelman Supply with us, and they just got their Facebook page up and running, so we'd like to have all of our listeners and Facebook followers to go to their page, Buschelman Supply Company, BUSHELMAN, and check it out, like the page, and we're posting a picture on our Facebook page of Tony and I and Margie and that wonderful coffee cake she brought in.
I know, you're putting the heat on, buddy.
Talk about around the table.
Yeah, there it is.
That is awesome stuff. So
good, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So tell us a little bit about what's going on out there at Buschelman Supply, getting everybody ready for the holidays. I know on your Facebook page the post was about how, you know, it won't be long, and we're going to have a couple of hard freezes in the next few days.
We sure are.
You know, I don't see any snow in the forecast, but you just don't know.
Nope. Yeah, well, and you just, it's one of those things, you get up in the morning and see what you're going to get, and go accordingly. But we're still bringing in stone, though. We just brought in 3 loads of stone this week. So
you still have some landscapers doing a few jobs.
Oh yeah. They're still going. And actually most of them that I've talked to, I mean, they've got stuff booked up even into spring yet. So some of them are just winding down this year. It kind of depends. Some of them don't do snow.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't do snow, they're trying to wind things down, you know, and then be done till early spring. But the guys doing snow, they're still trying to get everything done because they still have to put on plows and brackets and all that crap.
Well, so, you know it's not going to snow because I just got a snow blower.
Isn't that the truth?
We had one. And you have to know my husband to appreciate this because he's one of those, he does all the stuff you're supposed to do. And you know, he's very meticulous about his mechanical things. He'd go out every summer and he'd start it and he'd run it for an hour. And first snow, it would never start. It finally got so mad, he gave it away.
I think
we used it one time. It would run like crazy in the summer, but when we needed it, it would never start.
Sounds like the Ernie Brown luck.
The one I have has only been used 4 times and it wouldn't start. So I bought it like that, but I had to take it down to our good friends at Bud Herbert Motors to say, hey, can you? And I felt bad about that, Margie, because I told him, I'm like, you know, I don't do this. You know, pick up something from somewhere else and have you expect you to help me work on it. But I got the go ahead from John. So it was all good.
We get those trade magazines all the time, and they're always talking about the 2-cycle engines and how the gas is just eating stuff up. And I was at Central the other day, and we were talking about it because I want to buy a battery-operated chainsaw because we have honeysuckle coming out our ears at home. But anyway, so we were talking to him about chainsaws, and I was fussing about the gas. That's why I want a battery-operated one, too, because I know my limitations, and cutting off an arm and a leg's not in my program.
No, we don't do that.
Yeah.
But he was saying they switched to marine-grade fuel because there's no ethanol in it. And he said since they've switched to marine-grade, he said they're not having near the repairs. Now it's more expensive. But
right. That's interesting.
But I didn't know that. But yeah, and he's right, because we have a boat. And if you pull in at the marinas and fill up, they usually have a little sign that says there's no ethanol in our gas.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I guess it's a cleaner, better burn, less items in the gasoline itself. So, yeah.
But anyway, we've still been bringing in stone. We're bringing in a stone tile, a porcelain tile, which is going to be, I think, really pretty.
So now,
cost competitive, too.
So what will that look like when you say a stone tile? Various sizes?
They're big squares, but two of them are we're bringing two in now and two in the spring. So two of them are almost look like wood planking, and then the other two look like stone, but they're porcelain tile. And then they'll go, typically you put them up on spacers, but there's a whole system. I mean, they can go down on the ground like a regular stone, but they're not as thick as a stone is. So a lot of times they're putting them up on like spacers. Especially with those roof gardens and that kind of stuff,
that's real popular right now. So, is this something new? Or is this something that's been around?
This will be a new product for us. Yeah, so we'll see how it goes.
Interesting. So, is there certain specifics or installation processes that come along?
They've got a whole set of instructions, and I mean, you can still do it like a traditional lay too. So that's not a problem. But their Alliance came out with that product. It's almost like a composite type material, but it's to take the place of some of the gravel base, and you can put it down and then sand and these porcelain, and you can use the porcelain tile. You can also do the whole system with pavers, but it's that underlayment system. It works well for jobs where you've got a real difficult install, like you know how some of that stuff is
it
hills and steps and gates and stuff like that.
Is it not as heavy too?
Oh yeah, because it's a composite. It's almost like a I don't want to say it's like styrofoam, because obviously it's not, but it's a composite material. It's not like a natural type material, but you can use it in place of base, and so obviously you can just carry it instead of having to take product that's heavy, because sand and gravel weighs about a ton and a half per yard.
Right.
I mean,
the old flat roofs. I mean, there were a lot of sand and gravel on the flat roofs. Yeah. We just had one work on the other day. It's funny you say that, because immediately what came to thought when you said rooftop gardens or patios, when I was up in New York, you know, there's a lot of that. And I think you're starting to see a lot of that here in the over the Rhine area.
More towards downtown. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
So some of those older buildings where people have access to that rooftop area, what a way to deck that out.
Well, and you figure it's all concrete down below. I mean, if they're going to have anything green, it has to be up there. But, yeah, actually, we sell steel and aluminum edging, too, and the edging companies have come out with all kinds of specific edging to hold all that stuff in place up on the roof.
Interesting. So,
yeah, it is.
Now, whose edging do you carry?
We carry Border Concept and steel.
Colmat? That's not Colmat. Border Concepts.
Yeah. We started with them back when they first started. The two guys that own it, they were beating the bushes. I mean, they were actually hitting the road and beating the bushes. We've been with them since they started. Gosh, I guess we've been with them 25 years.
Man, I need to talk to you more. It's like you got all these things that I need. And I'm serious, because we buy from Border Concepts.
And do you? Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, we just brought a load up. We should split loads, because the freight's horrible.
Well, we buy a lot of pottery from Border
Concepts. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they have a whole line of that.
And then the steel products that they're involved with and what they work on, it's durable as get out. I mean, there's nothing cheesy about it. It's heavy. No. It's heavy stuff. It holds our heavy pottery. And we bought one of those. It's a triangular saucer holder.
Oh,
incredible. They do great stuff is what I want to
say. Well, honestly, when they first came out with that metal line, I paid them the highest compliment I knew. They are as good as my cousin, who is a third generation blacksmith.
Right,
their work is excellent. It really is. It's not cheap,
No, it's not cheap, but
and
it's
that's the way
stuff.
Their tools are. They're not cheap,
right?
But they've got the tools have got a lifetime warranty on them.
Man, it's funny. All this time you've been in here, I never knew you bought from Border.
Oh yeah, we've been with them for a long time.
See, and now with our new Facebook page, you can find all that out.
Well, I want to install some of that edging.
Sure.
It seems like it's moving on me. You know, it gets a little further out in the yard. And I'm like, I gotta stop it.
Okay. Well, the edging. I mean, I like the steel edge. But I will tell you, in our freeze-thaw cycle, that we hit, because it can be severe, it has a tendency to pop. So, you know, because I've hit some at home, and usually every spring I just go in with a sledgehammer and knock it back down in the ground.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's why I like you. Get that sledgehammer out.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Margie from Bushelman Supply with us. We need to pause for a moment. Make sure you go to our page and check out the picture that we've posted, and also a link to Bushelman Supply's new Facebook page. Look them up and like them. We need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Margie for Bushelman Supply in with us again this week. And she brought us some goodies. And Tony, before we go to Margie, we have Bruce on the line from Hamilton. Planted some seed last weekend. Grass seed, Bruce?
Yes.
Okay, what kind did you go with? The tall fescue?
It was a Pennington Ohio blend.
Yeah. Okay. So what is your concerns about that?
I put the seed down and I put a germination blanket on it, and then my concern is on the cold weather how to possibly protect it to where it'll germinate.
Let it go. You know, playing with grass seed this time of year is, you know, it's Russian roulette. And you know, what's going to happen? You may see some germination, you may not, and you're just going to bank on what germinates next year. You know, provided that the seed doesn't stay wet all winter and rot. So that's the risk we take. The next best time to seed really is going to be mid-February, late February, which we call winter seeding. So from this point on, it's a wait and see.
Would it help to cover it at all?
No.
During this cold spell?
No. Because a lot of times you cover it and you get the ground temperature still staying warm and it germinates and you get a really, really hard freeze, which we're right in store for us for next week. If you see some activity, I say this, you'll be lucky at this point in time, but you will see some activity late winter, early spring as things start to warm up, but probably not as much as you would in the fall.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have to go right back at it. And I don't want to sound negative, but that's the process and, you know, the timing of everything.
Yeah, the reason it's on a hillside, and there's a bunch of dirt filled in a big area.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get stuff to grow to try to help keep the dirt
exactly
there.
Exactly. Did you say you had some sort of a blanket? A straw blanket? What is it?
It's kind of like a straw. It's a wood fiber. They call it a germination blanket. I bought it at Lowe's.
Okay.
Bought several rolls of it. But I covered it last night with this queen plastic just to try to help keep the ground warm.
Yeah.
Help or hurt it.
No. Take it off, pin what you have down, the whole thing's intact, and see what happens, and go back at it in the spring. Nothing heroic at this point in time is going to make anything better.
Okay.
And just see what happens. That's the risk that we take when we plant grass seed late in the season. It could sit all winter long if we have one of those wet winters where it just stays wet and damp and doesn't really totally freeze the soil surface. Seed can have the tendency to sit there and just, you know, start to rot. But go at it late winter, early spring.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Thanks.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Margie from Bushelman Supply with us. And make sure you jump on their Facebook page, and like them, Bushelman Supply Company. And we were talking about some different things for your hardscaping projects and landscaping issues. Tony was talking about having I guess edging move on you? Is that what that is?
There's a lot of things I want to do. I talked to your buddy, common friend, Steve Zhang, the other day.
Yeah, your steps are on order.
Are they on order?
Well, and he told me, he said, well, what if he decides not to do it? I said, so we'll just put him in inventory and sell him to somebody else.
Thank you, Connor. But there's some things I want to do. I need to get my backyard in check. And when you said edging, I'm like, you know, my ears perked up like a dog. And when you said border concepts, too. So, you have a lot of things going on. I need to get back up there and see that. Every time I talk to you, I learn something new and different. And is it Craig?
Yes.
He was over looking at my garage door. You know, anytime I'm ready to pull the trigger, but I just not have gotten to it. We've been short-handed.
That's fine. It's no big deal.
And he told me they changed the you have a new door now?
Well, the Innovations, which is the one you bought for the store, has that pinch resistant, like, top. So the top's kind of pitched at on a curve.
Yeah.
And it's referred to as pinch resistant. Well, that was something that was marketed because they sell international, Raynor sells internationally, and that's something that's more geared towards the international market overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not used necessarily so much here in the United States. But anyway, they went back to, they changed the Innovations line, and they changed the name because they changed the line. But basically, it's the same door, but it's got a traditional, I think it's either shiplap or tongue and groove. I forget which top, which seating arrangement they've come
with. So the pinch resistant element to the old door, is that for kids getting their fingers in it?
Yes. Well, I've told you that story. I mean, I have four brothers.
Yeah.
And none of them have any sense. But anyway, so they would stick their fingers in the garage door sections, and then one of them would push the button, and the door would go up and down, and they'd hang on to the edges of the section. That's a good way to lose fingers. So
absolutely. You walk around with little Vienna sausage fingers. You want to have any tips?
So the idea with these pinch resistant sections was that if kids did get their fingers in there, as it closed, it's a real close tolerance. It would kind of push their fingers out of the way. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the new line is called Aspen, but they're still doing the same deal. It's still $225 off the regular price on a double. And $125 off the price of a single.
And you know what's interesting of all things? Because we were talking about you can take your trim color.
Right.
A Sherwin-Williams color, and they can match
the
garage door to your trim.
Yes.
The white that you have is almost that birch mist color. So I don't have to do anything fancy.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, it's just because I got a little sample from Craig, and it's just like right on.
Yeah, we have this little, I think they're maybe like 3x3, but they're actual skins of the seal doors. With the actual colors on them. So they're for us to pass out because it is. It's hard. You think that's the color until you hold it up to it.
Right. And it was right on. You know. And you know something else? I'm like, well, Craig, what kind of pulley system do you think we'll be putting up here? Just believe that one that you have up there.
The operator.
Yeah. Which I have a chain. Yeah. And the one at work is a belt. It's real quiet.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Is that open?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I don't want Tina to hear me come in late at night. that's what I like about Craig. He's like thinking like, well, you don't need to replace that.
That is
the beauty of the guys that work for you.
They're all pretty tight. Yep. And Craig is a pack rat. And he doesn't do, like you're saying. I mean, if it doesn't need it, he'll tell you that.
Oh, I know. Firsthand, I know. And he goes, well, whoever installs this will, time out. Can I call Margie and have her? I want to request you. Well, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's funny. He always tells my brothers, I love my job. And they look at him like he's crazy.
He does.
I have good guys.
You really do. When you run into employees like that that are enthusiastic about what they do, and they have the utmost respect for you, too. They really have complimentary things to say all the time. And I'm not just saying that. And I know that you have that
family.
We're
pretty close there.
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
There's no doubt about it.
They're all good guys. They really are. They're just... pretty much they're exceptional. We've got one guy, he's not been with us for a long time, but he's probably only been there a couple of years. And we're really, really busy right now. And he's a big guy. I mean, he's probably...
Is he bigger than Ernie?
I knew that was coming.
No, I mean, he's just a big guy. He's like 6'3 or 6'4. Yeah. Well, you know, when you're up and down ladders all the time, that's hard.
So you see, you're wearing out ladders on you?
But he wants to go to part time.
Yeah.
And Lance looked at him and he said, no, not till after.
Not till
the beginning of the year at least.
Mm-hmm. So. Wrong time to go part time.
Yeah. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Margie from Buschelman Supply with us, and we need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Margie from Buscheman Supply in with us again. And again, thanks for the bring of the goodies.
You're welcome.
And before we get to back to Margie, I want to remind you again, if you're out somewhere close to Pioneer, make sure you stop by the Spinning Wheel. A friend of mine's hosting a benefit out there to help with the boys' home Christmas dinner. The turkey rama. That'll get you in the mood for Thanksgiving. So what do you have going on at Buscheman's?
Well, this message is for everybody who's procrastinated. You guys are living on borrowed time.
You know us well.
Any last-minute projects, it's time to get your rear in gear. But you really want to think about your garage doors. Because the cold weather's right around the corner. If it's not been serviced or it's not been winterized, it's time to look at that. Not necessarily that you can't do it yourself, but you want to at least look at it. And last night would have been a good time to tell because it was windy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're standing by your garage door, if you can feel wind coming around the edges, you may want to look at your side seals. They may need to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
The bottoms, you want to check the bottoms. Again, with snow and ice that's coming, you want to be sure that you've got a good seal at the bottom so that can kind of keep that out. The other thing is, if we do have a hard freeze, you maybe want to kick the bottom of the door before you try to raise it, because they do freeze to the floor, and then that can be a major snafu if it's frozen hard, because you can blow things apart. But service-wise, check the garage door. And we've talked about this before. Disconnect it, open and close it by hand, and feel how it operates. It should be smooth. Mm-hmm. If you've got a lot of gunk in the tracks and stuff, clean that out. I think the guys use WD-40 to clean out some of the heavy grease stuff. And then you want to use a lightweight oil. You want to oil your springs. You want to check all the heads on your rollers, make sure they're all tight. But the most important thing is to disconnect it from the operator, because everybody uses that operator and nobody thinks about the door, because the operator takes care of all that. You need to disconnect it and open and close it by hand and feel how it operates.
So it's if it's in balance or not, right?
Well, if it's in balance, and if you feel a rough spot, or if you have to tug, or if you have to push, something needs to be adjusted.
I guess I'm thinking of when it comes down halfway, it should stay there.
That's right. That's a balanced door.
Okay.
Yeah. A balanced door, typically, if you open it about halfway, it should kind of sit there, because half of the weight's up, half of the weight's down. So, and even if it's a little light or a little heavy, that's not so bad. But you want to feel how that door operates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know how your car doors, sometimes it'll get a catch and it'll like, you know, especially
When Ernie slams it real hard.
Are indicators that, you know, something's
not right.
Yeah, it Got needs him. To be tweaked.
You know, something else too. I just did this the other day. You know, I'll take a nut driver and
tighten your hinges.
I'm tightening up all the hinges. Yep. They work loose.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah, they do, especially on wood doors.
Yeah, and I have a couple that you can't tighten anymore. It just kind of it just spins. One of the spinners.
Yeah.
But, do that as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, also, you know, what do you call the bottom of the door? The astrical.
Yeah.
And then the side strips. Check those, because mice are trying to chew their way in
they
stay
do.
Warm.
Yeah, I know.
I'll chew them up right now.
We have customers that come in all the time. The whole end's chewed off. And it's like, what are they? I mean, there's nothing there they can eat. It's vinyl, for goodness sakes.
Ernie must have been here. Oh, I'm all over you today like a cheap suit.
Yeah. That's all right.
He's got broad shoulders.
Yes, he does. He takes it well. He's really good. I'm surprised he's not pulverized me yet.
No.
Bam. But yeah, you're right. Weather stripping, all that stuff. Because don't wait till we start getting snow and all of a sudden you see this real fine snow dusting particles inside.
Yeah.
And you can tell, I got a little air infiltration there.
Yeah. And that's, if you're getting air infiltration, that's energy loss, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then commercially, it's time to think about maybe drop tests or PM service. We do a PM program, which is preventative maintenance. It's special discounted rates. Most of our customers just do an annual PM. We've got a couple of fire departments that do biannual. So we just go in and check everything. There's a checklist we go through. We give it to them. If we find anything that's a problem, We talk to them first, you know, and some stuff is potential problems. Some stuff is stuff like you need to do right away kind of things. Right. But anyway, so that it points out those things. The drop tests, those are usually required by the fire departments.
And explain what that is again.
A drop test is for garage, well, not necessarily garage doors. They can be sliders. They can be rolling steel. Some of the doors, I think, are man doors. But it's a requirement that if the temperature are typical, I just forgot the name of them. It's a heat-sensitive thing. But anyway, it's 165 degrees. And I think it's got, like, lead in it. That it gets soft. But anyway, if the temperature gets to that degree, it causes the door to drop, and then it seals that off.
Seals the area off. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it seals that area off. So periodically, usually a fire department will come in on an annual basis and do an inspection, and that's one of the things they look for, the certificates for the drop test. And we usually put a sticker beside the door, but then we actually have a piece of paper that we fill out.
You file it as well.
We file it, and we give the customers a copy, because sometimes the customers can't find their copies when the fire guy's there.
That can be me sometimes. Yeah.
And then we need to give them our copies. So we always maintain a file on that. So, but that's real important, and that's something that we do, and you need to be certified to do that. So my guys have all been trained by Raynor to do that kind of stuff.
Very important stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because we had a customer, and we went in and did a drop test, and he had a door that was not functioning. And of course, we do all that in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So they were notified, and they didn't do anything, and they had a fire.
Oh, does that nullify everything?
Well, it was a big problem, yeah.
Whoa.
Because they knew, and fortunately, you know, when we filed the paperwork, we informed the fellow that had brought us in, and he told the big boss. Well, it was on the big boss. So, but anyway, they did have a fire, and that door was in that part of the building.
That's
and
Murphy's
part
Law,
of the,
right there.
Yep,
you can, it
yep,
will.
Yep, yep. Mm. So
unfortunate.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Margie from Buscheman Supply with us. And I want to remind you to go through our Facebook page if you need to follow a link to get to Buscheman Supply's new Facebook page. Look them up and like them. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Margie from Buscheman Supply with us. Make sure you take the time to jump onto their Facebook page. Brand new. Got a great lineup of some of the things available for you at Buscheman Supply. And we've been talking about garage doors and about safety features and
all that good stuff. All that good stuff. And I know it's getting late in the season, too. Do people ever come in and like say, hey, I want to buy my husband this fire pick. Can I take a picture of it? Do you have a sample?
Well, I was just thinking. Well, you know, I graduated from Mount Notre Dame, and I still am on like the building and grounds committee. So one of the girls that works up there had us come out, and because of the Mount Notre Dame connection, we did her patio for her. And so they bought a rumble wall fireplace, which is a paved stone project. Or a paved stone product. But anyway, and she was real funny because my guys were betting that we were going to end up having to come out and do the fireplace. Because we did the patio, and we delivered, and we put the base in for the fireplace. But we delivered the fireplace for her husband to do it. And he did it. There's a little video thing you get. It's all self-contained. You get everything you need, except he did one thing wrong, and he had to come in and buy 12 more blocks because I think he did an extra course by mistake or something. But anyway, but he did it all by himself, and it turned out really well. And what's nice about those is it's everything you need. There's a stainless steel insert.
Right.
You get the chimney cap, the whole deal, the glue, whatever. And it's like less than $3,000. I want to say $2,800, right, something like that. But it's something you as a homeowner can do. You don't need special skills. You don't need special tools.
Right. Everything's here for you to do it.
Yeah. And they give you like the instruction video, and we printed it all out for him. It comes out to be like a little booklet kind of thing, but it turned out really nice. And I think she was really proud of him. And I think he's really proud of himself that, you know, but like I said, it was because to get something like that done, to have somebody do it,
right.
It's like megabucks.
Yeah. It would have been double the cost at least. Probably,
oh, I'm sure.
To, yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But you know, some of those things, and that's what I like about your place too. Like you guys, you will provide all that information if somebody wants to give it a crack. Yeah. What do you, unless you're really not able to do some things on your own, don't do it. Don't even tackle it. Have somebody else do it. But if you have a little bit of skill sets.
Well, you know what I tell everybody? No matter who does it, you still need X amount of product.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're the best guy in Cincinnati or you're dumber than dirt. You still have to have the same amount of product. So buy the product and try it. If you can't do it,
you can always hire somebody to finish it.
Right. The product is what is the part that you need, you know, but give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I still go out on job sites. I would much rather be on a job than in the office. And if I can do it,
Do you wear the hard hat and all that stuff when you're out on a job? I'm just kidding.
And I shouldn't say this.
My buddy does. He's an Easter all in.
And I've got work boots that I don't wear because they hurt my feet. But I usually wear gym shoes, and I shouldn't say this, but I wore a pair of gym shoes about 25 years ago when we were on a pond building seminar, and I rolled a boulder across my foot. So probably come January, I'm going to see the doctor to see about that too. Because I can't wear heels anymore at all. But
neither can I.
And I've already had a hip replaced and a knee replaced. Yeah. But honest to God, I would rather be. And when I leave here, we're going out on a job.
No, I like that about you. I just had to say that with a hard hat.
Oh, no, I hate stuff on my head.
Oh, it's funny. I just...
Well, it's been great having you in again. Give us your contact information one more time, please.
Okay, our phone number is 771-9121. Our website is bushelman.com. Please stop in and see us. And before I leave, I would like to tell any customers and everybody that's listening, please have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy this holiday season because family is everything.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you later.